Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You guys doing? Let's just have a conversation. Let's just talk about life. Where are my ladies at in here? Where are my ladies at? Woo! We had such a good weekend. Oh my gosh. I cannot tell you how amazing it was. But yes, my name is Tasha. Hello. Nice to meet you. And yes, me and my husband lead a church in Virginia. We're like 45 minutes outside of D.C., and this is the first Sunday where I'm preaching at the same time my husband is preaching in a whole different place. And literally, I'm on the way out the door on Friday, and he's like, girl, you preaching the same time I'm preaching. This is crazy. So our service is at 11 o'clock. Everything's the same. So this is what's happening today. I'm so excited about this. I wish he were here, but you know, he's got to be doing what he's doing. It's also really special to be here because I grew up here. These are my roots right here in the ATL. You know, I found God here. I fell in love with Jesus here. I found my man here. I had my first child here in DeKalb Medical Hospital. Yes. I don't know if it went down since then. I mean, it's been 19 years. Has it gone up or come down? Whatever. Okay. Well, we were there, and they did a good job, all right? So this place is such a special place to me. And I'm also grateful to be here because this church has a special place in my heart. And the reason why, me and my husband, and the reason why is because you guys, it's like we're simpatico, you know? It's like we are on the same page. We're following the Holy Spirit to the same places. I'm watching God give you the desires of your dreams and of your heart. You know, you guys bought this beautiful building. Oh, my gosh, this is incredible. And, yes. And I just can't wait to see how God continues to keep using you. And though we have the same dreams, I feel like you guys are a couple of steps ahead of us. So we get to learn from you. There are people looking to you, looking to your example, looking to see how God blesses you so they can be inspired too. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this weekend, we did do the whole book of, we focused on the theme of flourish, and we focused on the book of Hosea. And so, you know, the Spirit was like, Tasha, you got to keep that rolling on Sunday. All right, so we're going to still do this Hosea thing. Y'all with me? Yeah. All right. So we're going to start with Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. I'll give you a couple of seconds to get there. Do we have paper Bibles in here, or are we all electronic? I see one whole paper Bible. Good girl. Good girl. All right. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. So God says, I want you to marry a prostitute, love her with all your heart, have children with her, even though she will cheat on you, and some of those children won't even be yours. What an intense thing to ask somebody to do. But God was trying to get his point across. He was saying, you will not commit adultery in my face. Okay, and not hear from me about it. You will see that. You will see how I feel about this. God is like, why do my children treat me like this? Parents, do you understand? why do my children treat me like this? Sometimes I feel like we forget who God is. Hebrews 12:29 says, "For God is a consuming fire." God is a consuming fire. When you put something into a fire, it burns completely. It consumes the whole until there is nothing left. Well, God wants us to be consumed by Him. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to serve Him, worship Him. He wants to be in every fiber of every part of our lives. And that's because that's how intensely He loves us. Like, He loves us like that. He is consumed by us, by His love for us. That's the only reason why He wants that back. That's the only reason why He longs for that. I want you to think about fire, period, okay? Fire in and of itself. If you have a healthy fear of fire, then you don't play with it. And the people who play with it have scars to prove it. My husband's one of them. He has a scar right here. I don't know what he was thinking. Anyway. But you get scars and that to prove it. You don't just go playing with fire. And in the same way, you don't just go playing with God. There has to be an awe, a respect for who He is. And that respect spills over into our actions. My dad is a retired fireman, okay? First of all, my mom and my dad are here, and I'm so excited that you guys are here. So excited that they're here. Ah, I love them. So my dad is a retired fireman, and he would go in and he would go put out those fires, and he would tell you, the fire compels you to leave, okay? It compels you to leave that space. And as you run out of that space, you don't forget who that fire is. You don't forget the characteristics of the fire, that it's strong, that it's powerful, that it spreads quickly, and that it's running after you. You don't forget that. And in the same way, you don't forget how we need to think about God in the middle of the fight that we are in. We can't forget Him in the middle of this fight for our hearts. God is a jealous God, all right? This is along the lines that we forget who He is. He's a consuming fire, and He is a jealous God. Exodus 34:14 says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." If He is a jealous God, then how can we expect Him to not feel angry about idolatry? How do we ignore how serious this is to God? It's because we focus so much on ourselves. My first point is idols steal your strength. Hosea 7:9 says, "Strangers have devoured His strength, yet He does not even know it." They steal your strength little by little, so you don't even notice it. Worshiping the thing that you run to instead of God, or running after idols, is like expecting to get full off McDonald's. Have you ever noticed how that food, it's like cardboard. And a couple of hours, you're full in the moment, and in a couple of hours, you're hungry again. You're like you ate nothing. You expect for it to fulfill you, and yet there are consequences to that decision. Okay? Let's say you eat McDonald's every meal for a whole week. You will see the difference in your weight, in your energy, everything. There are consequences for that decision. What are these things for you that consume you, that you run to, that are idols that are zapping you of your strength? It's so exhausting going to things that don't fulfill you, hoping to be refreshed afterwards, but then the refreshment never comes, right? In Hosea 4, 2 through 3, let's read this with me. Hosea 4, 2 through 3. I hear a couple of pages. You make vows and break them. You kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is in mourning and everyone is wasting away. Even the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea are disappearing. This is why worshiping idols is so destructive. These idols pull our hearts away from God and zap us of our energy. Instead of being consumed by Him, we're consumed with other things. What is that for you? Is it entertainment? And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, okay? I'm a Netflix girl. I love my Netflix. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. But if you go to it before you go to God, if you go to it instead of going to God, then it is your idol. Is it retail therapy? Is it? When you feel like you're having a rough day, do you go buy something? I do it, I confess. I do it. I was looking at DSW the other day. Anyway, that's not the point. That's not even what we're talking about. I do it. Is an idol for you success? Is an idol for you comfort or food or people's perception of you? Is your idol anger? It's weird for idol to be an anger, right? But if somebody's like, nope, it's not. I love being angry. But there's an adrenaline rush to being angry. And you can live in that adrenaline rush. It's an unhealthy thing to do, but you could strive for it over and over and over again. These very things steal our strength. And we need our strength because we're in a fight for humanity. We're in the middle of a fight for our hearts. Our land is mourning, literally mourning. It is a valley of trouble, and people do not know that there is a gateway of hope. After this pandemic happened, I'm sure, you know, people were going through all the things they were going through before the pandemic. But this pandemic highlighted everything and exacerbated everything. So 1 in 5 adults experience mental illness each year. 1 in 20 adults experience serious mental issues. 1 in 6 youth aged 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. 1 in 6 youth, and it seems like it's more than that every time I talk to a parent. 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses begin between 14 and 24. Suicide is the second leading cause of death. We need our strength and we need our focus because we need to show people that there's another way. We need to remember for ourselves that there is another way. My second point is God's love gives us strength. So idols steal our strength, and God's love gives us strength. So can I tell y'all a little story? All right. So I told y'all I met my man here. So we met here in Atlanta. You know, I came to church one day, and I saw him on the stage. And literally, let's just say I was attracted. All right? So I was attracted. All right? So I saw him from afar away, and I'm like, I need to meet that one. And then after that, I didn't do anything. I actually went in my own business, and you know, I went to chiropractic. And then a friend of mine, first chance she got, she took me straight to him. She's like, "There's somebody I need you to meet." And I'm like, "What? I didn't tell nobody about this." So I go, I meet him, and we, you know, long story short, I love, yes, I was attracted to him, sure. That's not the most important thing, ladies, all right? I was attracted to him, yes, but I also loved being with him. I loved our friendship. I loved our connection. But the thing that he had above everybody else is I loved his connection to God. I loved his intense love for God, his passion for God. That's ultimately what won me over. Because when I was mad with him, he wasn't as cute. All right? So that's how it is. But I love that man so intensely, and he loves me so intensely. So I look at what God asked Hosea to do, and I'm like, listen, if I were cheating on my husband, and I told him I was pregnant with somebody else's child, if he don't get angry, then something is wrong. And if my husband cheated on me, something is really wrong if a, what do you call them things? It's not just a frying pan. It's the cast iron frying pan that would hit him upside the head. Like, if he were cheating on me, of course the skillet, yes, of course I'm going to be angry, right? So why do we expect God to be any less angry? You know, if God wasn't that angry, if I wasn't that angry, if my husband wasn't that angry, I'd be like, oh, you don't really care. If God wasn't that angry, we could wonder if he cared. But you know what? That's not the case. God was angry. He was very angry. And I want you to know, you don't get intense love without intense passion, without intense emotion. Sometimes I think we misunderstand who God really is when it comes to anger. I'm uncomfortable with anger. I'll just say that. Doing this lesson actually helped me. I'm uncomfortable with just, you know, if somebody's angry. I remember driving up to a boba tea spot, because I love boba tea, and there are these two people angry at each other, you know, over a parking spot. And me and my daughter looked at each other and we're like, we are not getting out this car until everything is over there. I don't like to be near angry people. It is uncomfortable for me. It's also a little dangerous, but it is uncomfortable for me. So there is. So when I look in the Bible, what I realize is I kind of skirt over those passages that say he's angry. Somehow. And I focus on his love because I'm real comfortable with that. You know? But maybe you're like Gomer, who was really uncomfortable with God's love, his unconditional love. Maybe you're different than I am. And maybe you focus on rules, his rules, because of that. Who knows? But here's the thing. We can't ignore who God is. We cannot make him, put him in the box that we want him to be in. We got to let him be who he is. So here's the thing. I respect my husband and I love him. I love that God would choose the example of marriage because it's perfect. I love my husband, and so if there's something he's uncomfortable with, I'm going to highly consider that. I'm going to weigh that into my decisions. Do we think like that about God? If there's something that he's upset about that he doesn't like, that he's made clear in his Bible that he does not want, do we highly weigh that in our decisions? Would God say that you do that in your everyday life? Would God say that you are consumed with him? God's love gives us strength. Gives us strength to forgive. Gives us strength to be honest. about how we really feel, even when it's ugly. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly because we are convinced that he has given his life for all of us. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Love compels us to be different. Compels us to make hard choices. Compels us to do more than just live for ourselves. Gives us the strength to love unconditionally, because that is not fun half the time. Gives us the strength to say no to pathways that are destructive to our lives and the people around us. Love gives us the strength to say yes to the things that pleases him. 1 Peter 4 says that love covers a multitude of sins. God is so serious about this. Listen, in Hosea 2:2, he says, level a charge against your mother, plead with her. She is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove prostitution from her presence and adultery from between her breasts. I really get the sense that he's serious about this. Passionate people who feel things different, who feel things deeply. So my husband is a passionate person, and my dad is a passionate person. And it's no wonder I chose my husband, because you're always looking for your dad, right? So my dad literally wears his feelings on his shoulder. You always know what he's feeling, whether it's sad, happy, angry, whatever. It doesn't matter. You always know. And my husband is the same way. He hides it a little bit more, but he's the same way. He has a ton of feelings, and he's intense about all of it. You know what? I forgot where I was going. Hold on one second. Oh, yeah, I remember. All right. It's not actually in my notes. So, but he's intense about all of his emotions. But the thing that I love about both these men is they don't act out of their anger. I love how God got it all out. He said all of it. He said all the stuff in Hosea. He said it all. It was a little overwhelming. But then, you know what he does? He doesn't act out of his wrath. And what he has taught me, what God has taught me through this, is that his love is so much more powerful than his wrath. Our love is so much more powerful than our wrath. There's so many things to be angry about in this world. So many things to be mad about. And I wouldn't even blame you if you were mad about them. But don't waste your strength. Don't let that zap your strength. Because the anger is not the most important thing for you to be feeling. It's the love that actually fixes things. It's the love that actually overcomes that anger, overcomes that hatred, overcomes that person that, you know, jumped in front of you on the road. It is the love that overcomes that. Do you guys believe me? Are you with me? Our love is more powerful than our wrath. I want you to look at Hosea 11:8 through 9. Please turn there with me. Look at this man's love, this God of ours. Oh, how can I give you up, Israel? How can I let you go? How can I destroy you like Admah, or demolish you like Zebulun? My heart is torn within me. My compassion overflows. No, I will not unleash my fierce anger. I will not completely destroy Israel, for I am God, not a mere mortal. I am the Holy One living among you. I will not come to destroy. His love overcame his wrath. Hosea 14:4-7. Let's read this. Oh, wait, I got to turn there too. My bad. Hosea 14:4-7. Oh my goodness, I think I need glasses. Wow, turning 48 is real. All right, I'm ready. I'll heal their apostate hearts so they won't turn away from me again. I'll love them freely because I won't be angry with them anymore. I'll be like dew that waters Israel. She'll blossom like the lily. She'll put down roots like the stable cedars of Lebanon. She'll send out shoots until her beauty is like the olive tree and her fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. The people will return from exile and sit in my shade once again. They'll flourish like grain. They'll send out shoots like the vine, and their fame will be like the vine of Lebanon. Do you see what God wants to do with us? He wants your fame. He wants everyone to know who you are. He wants everybody to know, not because you're so amazing, because you are, but because he wants people to know how amazing he is. He wants the world to understand how deep and unfailing his love is. And the only way we show that is through our love. Through our love for our community, through our love for the people around us, through our love for the people in this church. Through our love for the people next door who need something to eat, through our love to our neighbors, through our love to anyone that we come into contact with. Through our love and how we forgive each other when we hurt each other. Through our decisions and how we follow him, how we think through what he needs and what he feels and what he deems important, and we decide to do that. I want you to remember this is how God dreams for you. This is how he dreams for this church to be. For your fame to go all over the world as a faithful church that never gives up. As a faithful church that loves just as intensely as he loves them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love you guys. I'm so grateful I got a chance to talk with you today. I got to end right here. May I pray for you?
Yes.
All right. Dear God, thank you so much for this incredible group of people who love you with all of their hearts, with all of their minds, with all of their strength, God. I pray that you help us all to see the areas in which we are idolatrous. God, I pray that you help us to see the ways in which we disappoint you. And I pray that we do something about that, that our love for you compels us to change. God, I pray that we get a chance to show you how much we love you. God, through our time with you, through our prayer, through our worship, through our actions, through the way we live our lives. God, you are so amazing. Thank you for everything that you're doing, every blessing that you are putting upon this church. Thank you for the leaders of this church. Thank you for the people who are volunteers and they lead this church. God, thank you for every person and every sweat and every tear, everything that's been put into this church. God, I love you so much. I'm so grateful. I pray you bless this church, God. I pray, God, that you give us the light, that you guide us and you show us exactly the directions we need to go in. I pray the Holy Spirit guides us and we listen and we follow wholeheartedly. God, we love you so much, and we are so grateful to be your sons and daughters. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.